let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Hello, Onanta.
Buongiorno, Randy. How are
you? Italian's getting better and better. Not that I would know because I don't really speak Italian, but
it's just flowing out of me. Just like the wine, it just flows out of you.
I've been following your adventures, like I just said, on Instagram and Facebook. Some amazing photos of some of the tours that you've been through this past week. So share it with us.
Absolutely. So this week was a little different than the previous week's chat, where we did a lot of the tours on our own. Like, we created our own transportation, sightseeing. And this week we wanted to try two different or a few other destinations, which was more logistically easy to book it through a tour operator. So the company we use here is called Sicily Day by Day. And under their brand, they also run Etna Experience and Etna People, which focus specifically on Mount Etna and outdoor excursions. So one of the nicest things about coordinating our plans with them, we are staying in Ortigia, and they are based out of Taormina and Catania. And which is, Catania is about 45 minutes to an hour away from Ortigia, but we were able to arrange transfers where they picked us up, where we were staying, took us to Catania, where their tour started. It made it things so much more easier, especially for the earlier departures. All the logistics are simple, timing, transportation, all handled, and the guides are quite lovely. Now, the first tour we took this week with them was Argentina and Piazza Armenia, and it's a full-day tour. In Argentina, we visited the Valley of the Temples, and what stands out is the scale. So the temples are huge and surprisingly intact, and walking through the sites kind of gives you a sense of how significant this Greek city once was, because I honestly felt I was in Greece, like part of the Parthenon or touring that. The valleys of the temple, it's spread out. So you cover a fair bit of ground. The time of year, we're not seeing a lot of crowds, but it's interesting because then from the Argentina, you walk your way to the Piazza Armenia to see the Villa Romano de Casal. And this is where you have the opportunity to see the mosaics here. The entire floors are covered in detailed scenes like hunting, daily Roman life. And they have this mosaic called Bikini Girls. And they really do look like ladies in bikinis, very modern. Despite being over 1,500 years old. I think I maybe said it a little wrong. So when we were at Argentina, you would walk between two different temples. And then you would drive to Piazza Armenia. You don't walk to Piazza Armenia because it's about an hour away. So just to clarify that. And then it's a full day. It's very well paced. And then the next excursion that we took with Etna people, it was to Mount Etna. And this is where we were taken to it was like a central point where it was at the base of Mount Etna. And the company owns like a vineyard there. And they have a building where people who are, if they're not properly attired, they would be able to choose a coat because going to Mount Etna is cooler. And also, if you don't have proper shoes, they have hiking shoes in different sizes, even young children sizes. It was really quite well prepared. The only thing you really have to make sure is that you have socks, because they don't supply socks. And I layered up, and I had I have a good coat with me. So I didn't have to take any of their supplies, but it's good if you are going, that they will take care of you, gear and all. So this one was a bit more active. First of all, we went and explored a lava cave, and it was with helmets and headlamps. So you have to be, I would say, a little mobily. You can't be mobily challenged. Let's put it that way. You need to have a fair bit of flexibility in crawling, descending into the cave, and then walking in the cave. It's all lava rocks, so it's very uneven, big chunks of rocks, different sizes. Without the helmets or the headlamps on the helmets, it's completely dark. Wow. So very, very dark. If you're claustrophobic, you might be, it might bother you. It's big enough when you see the light on that it shouldn't, but you never know, right? Being in the dark and not having a quick exit might bother some people. There is an exit, but
yeah, I'm not sure if I'd be comfortable with that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's quite, you have to think about it before you actually do it.
And the other thing that would bother me is that I'm quite tall. So yes. I'd be stooped over a lot, I think.
You would be, absolutely, because I'm not tall. I'm 5'2", and there was times like I was really quite bent over. Mm. And you don't realize how close the walls could be. So your helmet would kind of bump into the walls or the roof. The guide does explain how lava tubes form when the outer layer of flowing lava cools and hardens while the molten lava continues through the center. And then when the flow stops, it leaves a hollow tunnel. So it was interesting. It was about, I'd say, 20 minutes of exploring.
So if you didn't want to, if you were uncomfortable going in there, you could just kind of skip that portion and wait till everybody else was done.
Absolutely, because they drive you there. It's mm-hmm. not a very big group, no more than 7 people, including the guide. In fact, our companions on this was a couple from Paris and their 3-year-old daughter who went in. Yeah. and good thing, because she was chattering along, so I knew exactly where to go. Because she was right ahead of me. She's like, okay, I'm following you.
and she's course, small enough, she could get through everything.
Yeah, go get help. Not that we needed. But it was very interesting. It was the first time I've ever been in a lava cave and ever explored a cave as such. Hmm. After that, we drove to Mount Etna, and we hiked around the base of the mountain, and there's still snow here, and it's quite a bit of snow. It is melting, but still, you have to. They gave us hiking poles, which was immeasurable, like so much help in mm-hmm. managing traversing the lava sand as well as the deep snow. And so it's interesting seeing snow on black volcanic rock. It's a strange combination. And you can see layers from past eruptions because it was, there was a lot of people there, but it was still not as busy as it could be. If you didn't want to walk around the base of it, there was a cable car that you could go to the top. So again, there was options. And then the scenery is quite amazing. You get to see, you know, the Katana very far in the distance. You get to see the ocean. You get to see the different plains or craters of Mount Etna. So it's quite, it's a good thing to do. And you could do it depending on your level. It was funny, the guide, he worked for a cruise company in his past. And he showed us one crater, and he goes, that's where the cruise clients go because they're more mature. And it's not the way we were hiking around the craters. So
what's there, the elevation, do you know? Like, you're obviously not too high up, I don't think.
No, it wasn't that high. Like, it's not like our mountains in the Rockies, for sure. It is. And it is an active volcano. It is always gurgling, like you can see the steam coming out of it. And then he explains, you know, the different times in the past that it fully erupted. And actually, when we were driving back into Catania, we saw where One house was completely demolished by the lava flow, but the house remnants is still there. Interestingly enough, I thought I would smell sulfur, but there wasn't any smell to the mountain at all. But, and as you go throughout different parts of Sicily, such as when we went to Tormania, it was, you always get glimpses of Mount Etna in the background. So it's part of their fabric of their nature and such. So it says that in the description, the hike was easy. Well, it wasn't extreme, but I don't know if it was easy. But, you know, for
that
sure.
That goes back to my whole thing of hikers are liars.
You know, it's doable, and I did it, and the family did it. It was all good, but
if a 3-year-old can do it, anybody can.
That's right. She can guide you out with her chatter. So one of the things that was quite interesting with this tour company, it's like they don't take you to like a typical restaurant where they, you know, where there's courses of meals, whether like, you know, like a buffet or different drinks and stuff. They take you to local places, like local cafes, or it's a very relaxed, casual lunch. So they, at the first tour that we did, there was a choice of that you go into a cafe and you would choose either a sandwich or arancina, which I'll explain what that is, salad, pizza slices, and all are served with water and or local wine. At the second tour, he actually brought out a selection of, just a tray of mini pizzas, again, arancina and folded over pizza, which is basically pizza closed like a sandwich, similar to a calzone. So it's very, very, simple. So I thought, you know, as part of our conversation today, we would talk about the food that's here.
I was going to ask, what's the pizza like?
The pizza is very good, but it's very simple. It's not like amazingly tons of toppings. It's like tomato sauce, cheese, and a protein like ham or salami, something like that. It's very simple. Very, very simple.
That would be good.
The arancinis are stuffed rice balls, and they're usually filled with meat ragu, peas or mozzarella, and then coated in breadcrumbs and deep fried. So crispy on the outside and soft on the inside. And that's everywhere. And then they have it's like a semi-frozen dessert. It's called granita. It's made from sugar, water, and flavoring. Often lemon, almonds, coffee, or pistachio, because that's very, lemons, oranges, almonds and pistachio are native here, so it's very fresh. In Sicily, it's commonly eaten for breakfast with a soft brioche bun. I haven't had it in that manner. I've had it when, in a drink where it was just a granita with orange, and it was very lovely. It was very refreshing. And if you don't drink alcohol, it's a good alternative to enjoying it. And there's a cup of caponata. It's a sweet and sour eggplant dish with tomatoes, celery, olives, and capers. It's served at room temperature, and it shows the balance in Sicily's food between sweet and savory. It's kind of the kind of meal you would have if you're visiting somebody's family rather than going out for a formal dining experience. It's very simple, filling, and quite it's very regional. So those are some of the things that you should try when you're here. There is cannoli, which is best if you see them actually filling them fresh with whatever filling you want. Like we've tried it with ricotta. You can have it with chocolate. It's all very good, and it's a must have. And then if you're near the coast, you try grilled swordfish. So it's all fresh. It's very good food, very simple food, but not very, but lots of flavor, very ingredient driven. To me, food is travel. Like I like when I go traveling to try the different food, and I like to eat, period. So there you go.
No, that's good. Well, you have to eat, right? It's kind of a requirement, so you might as well enjoy it. Anything else?
Well, I'm going to share something that may not appeal to most North Americans, but it's a principal Catania street food. And people can from Catania usually have dinner with it when they go out with friends, and that's horse meat sandwich. So I know that sounds a little odd, and I haven't tried it. It's not something that I'm leaning towards, but it is something that is you will see in restaurants or offered in the menu.
So they don't try to hide it. It's clearly there and
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's part of their it's part of their culture.
So interesting.
They feel like you say they don't hide it. If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah. Yeah, no judgment. It's like and it wouldn't be for me. I don't know, but there's just this mental block.
Yes.
That I have, and I just don't want to try it.
No. I'm that way with game. Like when we were in South Africa, you could try a lot of different game. Can't do it. I can't do it. But good for you if you want to try it because you know, that's why you travel. Like not everything's like home. And that's why you want to go and try different things. So, but
exactly. Very nice. Well, yes, like I say, I've been following all your stuff on Instagram at Onanta Forbes and Facebook at Onanta Forbes. Some great pictures, some great photos. So keep it up.
it's a great. We're into our last week. We are going to see a very traditional fabric of Sicilian life. It's a puppet show.
Oh, cool.
So I will share with you what that was like next week.
That sounds great. Onanta Forbes is a travel expert with her long stay in Sicily. You can follow all her images on Instagram and Facebook and X at Onanta Forbes. And her website is onantaforbes.com. Great chatting, Onanta. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Grazie.